LZ, I think Chris had something wrong in there talking about how we're taking Friday off. You made it very clear that you're taking the rest of Thursday off in about 2 hours.
Man, listen. So I got up yesterday about 3:30 in the morning to finish this piece for the Times. Did the radio show. Right after that, I did some CNN. After that, I had to do some more Times. After that, I did some ESPN stuff. So I worked about 15 hours yesterday. So you damn Skippy, as soon as we say the George Sedano show is next, I'm going to light it up, and I may not put down my bong until Sunday night. May not.
Well, you don't have to be so specific. I mean, you can just go have a nice time.
No. I just bought it. It's a brand new one, so I'm happy.
When they legalize conversation about this stuff, LZ, he's all in. We give you details, how to light it, how to turn it, what to put inside. It's very purposeful, Key.
You know why? Because you have to remove the stigma, all right? It's just like taking a drink.
Yep.
It's just like me saying I'm going to have a beer. But the only way you get the stigma away, if you normalize it. And how you normalize it, you just talk about it in your everyday life and don't make a big deal about it. So I'm part of the solution, brother.
That's one way to look at it.
Preach on, LZ. Preach on.
Yeah, I guess.
I guess is right. All right. The Lakers are not going to replace Dwight Howard on their roster. We've been talking about it for a few days. We still don't know for sure whether or not Dwight Howard is going to rejoin the team or not. But to hear the head coach of the team, Frank Vogel, talk about it, they're doing everything they can to give him every opportunity to return to the team.
Yeah, we've been in communication with Dwight the whole way, with supportive phone calls and text messages. And, you know, we don't know what the level of participation is going to be yet. He wants to play. We're hopeful that he's able to join us. He has an extenuating circumstance that he's working with the league on in terms of what that is ultimately going to look like. But we're hopeful and optimistic that he'll be able to join us in Orlando.
It puts Frank Vogel and the Laker coaching staff in a really unique situation. And it's an understandable situation because Dwight has a really tough call to make. But playing with him and playing without him are two different plans of attack going into the postseason for the Lakers. If you have him, you keep doing what you've been doing because it works really well. Without him, you got to come up with a plan B, and you got to come up with it fast.
Your plan B is playing without him. They simply said that they're not, you know, if Dwight elects to not play, they're not going to address it by bringing anyone else in. And I think that they already kind of have that in store, and they know that. And they've made the necessary adjustments if they had to go without that or go with that. Dwight's a very important part of them winning a championship because he's done so much for them to be in a position that they're in this year right now. It's one of those deals where they're going to do everything within their power to convince him, hey, come play with us and we'll take care of everything else that needs to be taken care of. In terms of communicating with the NBA, I mean, they're on board with everything. You haven't had an opportunity to hear other teams with players that have elected not to play speak about the NBA getting involved. It's kind of like those players don't play, they don't come, okay, no big deal. I don't see it that way with the Lakers and Dwight.
Well, you know, it's interesting that both the Lakers as well as the Clippers are – you know, looking at a very important part of their piece, still deliberating joining. Now, Doc Rivers says that he, you know, really thinks that Lou Williams, who's expressed that he was 50-50 at one point in rejoining the startup, he's expressed yesterday in a Zoom call with reporters that he expects him to play, but that he doesn't know until everyone gets on the plane and they take off on July 8th. So you have, you know, at least two favorites who aren't even sure if all of their pieces are going to be in the bubble when they start this thing up, which is why the more I think about it, the more I tend to agree with Giannis and that, you know, this isn't like the World Series where the regular season is being gashed and the champion may or may not necessarily, you know, be someone that we think would have been a champion in normal circumstances. In the NBA, this will be the toughest championship because not only did you stop and restart and you're in the bubble, so there's a mental stress to it, but you may actually find teams being shorthanded for other reasons, but it's still tangentially tied to the pandemic, which makes this all so fascinating and puts a lot of pressure on guys like Doc Rivers as well as Frank Vogel to figure out how do you keep this well-oiled machine going if all the parts aren't in place.
I want to come back to what Giannis said in a second, but you bring up a good point, LC, about Lou Williams and the Clippers. Let's assume that both of those guys decide not to go. Who's affected more? The Lakers losing their big man, who is, you know, just.
Well, I think if you consider the fact that, you know, what Lou Williams brings to the table, and he's the reigning sixth man of the year key, you're talking about someone who gives you 20 points a game, is instant offense, but more importantly, he, in combination with Montrezl Harrell, form a very deadly pick and roll
combination
yeah. that makes it almost impossible for you to take a break. Well, you know, sometimes a team can be like, oh, they're going to the bench. We don't have to necessarily be as engaged defensively. You can almost make the argument that with Lou Will on the floor, you have to be even more so engaged and not less engaged.
Yeah, and if you look at it, Lou Will is a very important part. Scorer off the bench gives him everything when Kawhi is not in the game in terms of scoring. He's been able to do that for a couple years even when Kawhi wasn't on the team. But Doc Rivers sounds very optimistic that Lou Williams will be a part of the team. And you know, you don't want to make it about winning a championship and all of those sort of things, both as player and as a coach. But you have to think that a guy like Lou Williams has helped his team get to where they are today. It's very tough to decide at the 11th hour, you know what, I don't want to play and finish this deal because of some other circumstances that I may be dealing with on top of the movement and the beliefs that I have. You're stuck, and it's very hard. So at the end of the day, you try to figure out how to balance both and get it out of both. So this is an opportunity to win a championship. This is an opportunity to do one of the things that you've always wanted to do in your life, and yet and still you got all these other things. So you just want to try to figure out how I can do both and not rush yourself to making those decisions and taking your time. And I think at the end of the day, he'll still be able to do whatever it is that he is set out to do from a movement standpoint, from a family standpoint, and accomplish being part of a championship, potential championship run, and not feeling like I'm letting my team down or I'm letting my family and my community down.
Yeah, he's in a virtually impossible situation to make that decision, because whatever you decide, you're going to feel like you should be doing the other one. It's just human nature that when you have two things that you really want to do, deciding which one that you're going to leave behind, it's incredibly challenging. And then, of course, there's just the basketball component. You mentioned it a second ago, LZ, about what Giannis said. Let's take a listen, because he's talking about the idea that whether or not this season should have an asterisk and just how challenging it's going to be to get this thing across the finish line.
Yeah, and you know, that can't be downplayed. You know, I know that, you know, on the outside looking in, it just feels like ball is ball. And in some regards, it is true. Ball is just ball. But you always know that the mental part of the game is the hardest part to quantify. You know, a guy like, and I hate keep going to this, but it was so glaring to me that it's the prime example. Kevin Love was at one point like a 30 and 15 guy, 30 points, 15 boards, like just a beast. But Draymond Green just had his number, and it all started with between the ears. In between the ears, knowing that guy has your number talks about how important the mental aspect of ball is. And so when you look at that factor and you consider you got a bunch of guys who may not process being quarantined for that long in the same way as other guys, you can't underestimate the power of the mental aspect of trying to make it through the season. So the champion is just going to be so much more than just a great basketball player. He's going to be a great philosopher, thinker, meditator.
You have to be able to do it devoid of outside factors, right? Because think about it. Key, you can speak to this better than anybody else. The boost you get from the 80,000 people in a football stadium or 20,000 people in a basketball arena, that you're going to get a game here or there just because the momentum is going your way, because the noise starts to happen a certain way. These games are going to be played in a vacuum. There are no fans. There is no, we're going home. We got the boost of being in my own bed. We got the boost of being in familiar surroundings. We got the boost of having 20,000 people all going bananas every time we do something great and going crazy every time they do something wrong. It's just a straight basketball equation, and whoever can stay, to your point, LZ, tougher mentally and not have to need the boosts from outside things or the comfort from outside things, that's an advantage. And that certainly tips towards the Lakers, I think, because they're so, they've got LeBron, and LeBron is the guy that is just the most disciplined, focused, concentrated athlete in the entire league. And I think that the team, the rest of the team, will follow his lead. You got some other guys that are inexperienced, a little younger, a little less green, or a little more green, I should say. I think that this tilts Lakers as well.
I think all the veteran guys will be fine. The superstar veteran guys, I think they'll be fine because they know what to do and how to approach it. And I think for the most part, a lot of the guys will be fine because it's professional basketball. Yes, the fans and things of that nature can boost you and get you up, but your opponents and going up against your opponents and knowing that you got to win games to get to the next level in the championships and all of those sort of things will keep that focus there. You look at the Lakers' potential roster, you look at what they have going into the bubble. Look at all the veteran players that have played on championship teams or championship caliber teams or playoff runs. I mean, from top to bottom, for the most part, those guys have been in the situations. At least the frontline guys have. You can say the same thing about the Clippers, the coaching staff. I mean, those guys have been there before. You know, you start to look at some of these teams and the makeup of it, I think they'll be fine. I'm not putting too much into the whole fanfare. Early on, LeBron James took a stand and said that, you know, playing basketball without fans is something he wouldn't do. But after he sat back and he thought about it, he's like, well, hell, I can play without the fans because I'm going to attack Giannis anyway. That's who I'm going after. I'm not going after the fans.
All right, Cam Newton is in New England. Is he going to be the starter? Maybe not. Diana Rossini will tell us about that coming up next on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN. Cam is in Boston, or at least he's going to be in Boston playing for the Patriots by the time we get to the NFL season. And Key, Boston means something pretty specific when it comes to being a black athlete in that city. And I mean, I know we've all seen it. We're going to play it here in a minute, but we'll circle back to that in just 1 second. As promised, we're joined right now by ESPN NFL insider Diana Rossini is joining us on the Sprint People's Hotline. Diana, good morning. How are you?
Oh, who's my hype man there? I like that. I like a little whoop whoop. Hi, guys. What's up?
Good morning. So, the NFL decides that the preseason isn't really worth it. Is this a permanent change, or is this just because of the pandemic?
Well, it's funny because you guys know no coach or player loves the preseason. Heck, fans don't even like it. So it almost feels like everyone's kind of secretly like, yes, this is great. Let's stick with this. But look, I can tell you one thing. There has been so many discussions had daily between the Players Association, the league, for the last 3 months, and, you know, talking to GMs and coaches, even owners, trying to find answers to what they're doing. Just trying to get answers to what they're doing in 2 weeks has been really hard, guys, because they haven't made decisions. So much of this is just discussions. So while I would love to say that this is, a template for what we're going to see, they're still just trying to figure out how this is going to work. So I'm going to go with right now, this is just for this season. And you know, obviously they're doing this for two reasons, making sure players don't travel, right? That's the one big thing. Keep players at their facility on location where they'll be quarantined and tested daily. And then that second layer of just getting that football fitness back, getting those guys together since it's been such a weird offseason.
It has been a weird offseason, Diana. In fact, so weird that Cam Newton is wearing a New England Patriot number one jersey, which I think looks so sweet, and I can't wait for him to dab, and I can't wait for him to showboat, and I can't wait for him to be Cam in Foxborough, because if you know anything about the New England Patriots, even though there's this myth about Bill Belichick, he has not once tried to change a player's habits when he's gotten them in free agency. They've been themselves, whether it's been Corey Dillon, Randy Moss, Antonio Brown, Chad Ochocinco, any of the guys that he's gotten before. What do you think about what's going on in Boston with Cam now?
Yeah, I agree with you with Bill actually liking those types, right? Because those players, that X factor, that flavor, most of the time they're talented as heck, right? So they're gonna figure out how to make that work. But I really think the conversation that everyone is kind of having right now, or at least we're debating, is can he tailor this to sort of be the Patriot way? Because there is a culture there. You can't deny it.
The culture there is coming to work, doing your job, and winning games. The culture is not you can't wear certain clothes. If Cam Newton wants to wear what he wears, that's what he wears. Tom Brady dresses the way he dressed because that's what Tom liked. Julian Edelman wears sunglasses because he likes wearing sunglasses. You can't tell Cam Newton that he can't have a scarf on at a press conference if that's who he is.
Oh, yeah, I don't think they're doing that. I would be shocked if this season, if he winds up being the starter, if
– You would be shocked?
Changes, I will be disappointed if he changes, first of all. He's not going to. In terms of being shocked, look, I don't know medically where he is at. The only thing I know is there are a lot of teams not willing to take that risk, including, obviously, we know with the Ron Rivera situation in Washington. And then the other layer to it is Carolina. You guys think Teddy Bridgewater is better than Cam Newton? I don't think so. So what are we missing? So something must not be right. And I think this is how we wound up in New England.
Well, what I say
Diana
about
Rossini joining us here.
Yeah, what I would say,
Diana, do you think he has to come in and compete for the job because he's healthy, or he has to compete for the job because they don't know which guy they like better?
So I'll just tell you what I know from talking to New England and then others in the division, right? So I have heard about their obsession with Jarrett Stidham from players and people in that building. This has been going on for months because I didn't really get it, to be very honest with you. I didn't understand why they weren't making moves. Brian Hoyer is not your answer. Brian Hoyer is not a good quarterback. I know he knows the system, but that's not your guy. So Jarrett Stidham must have something, right? And players on this offense have said he has it, right? So now they bring Cam Newton in here, who we know this is a very low-risk situation, and if it turns out that he's healthy, he's got to be better than Jarrett Stidham. I mean, this is a guy who was having an MVP-caliber season a year and a half ago with Norv Turner. You know, and guys, I talked to Carolina as well because I'm trying to understand what happened between then and now that there's even a possibility he wouldn't start, because there's a coach in the division that said to me he doesn't even think Cam is going to get the starting nod. That they're like kind of mentally preparing for Jarrett Stidham more, which is crazy to me. And you know, this coach also put it to me. He's like, if I'm Josh McDaniels, I would so much rather have Cam Newton out there running around than giving the ball to Brian Hoyer to throw it. Like using him as another option as a running quarterback could be part of their plan. And this is a defensive person sharing this with me. So, look, there's a lot to this, but people in Carolina said this to me. They're like, if he is healthy, this guy is so motivated, he's so pissed off, that this could actually wind up being his best season if he's healthy.
Well, you know, from the Carolina standpoint, I certainly understand why the Carolina Panthers didn't keep Cam Newton and went after Teddy Bridgewater. He got a new coaching staff with a long-term seven-year deal. He is not in the win mode right now. He is in the build my program mode. And when you look at the way the Carolina Panthers are, they lose Greg Olsen, Luke Kuechly goes on, and you start to build a team differently. So I can see why he's not in Carolina. As far as the New England Patriots go, the New England Patriots signed Cam Newton to be their starting quarterback. And I would be shocked and surprised on opening day if he's not running out of the tunnel as the starting quarterback of the New England Patriots. You got to think about Josh McDaniels.
I don't think it's that clear. I'm just not getting this feeling.
Yeah, it's so clear. It is so clear. It's so clear.
Someone from New England would say to me,
"They're never going." No, as you know, Diana, they're never going to tell you.
Oh, they're the worst.
But they're never going to tell you.
You can. They don't. But there's always. They do have a way of steering sometimes. And
here's what I'm going to say. Here's what I'm going to say from a history standpoint. the New England Patriots don't get high valued free agents and put them on the shelf. Just look at the history. Whether it's a skill position, a defensive tackle, a linebacker, they all start. They're getting them for – just look at the history. Think about the last person they signed.
My only argument to that, though, is they're starting if they're paying. They're paying him $550,000 guaranteed money. That's nothing.
Don't think about the money. Think about the player. Never mind the money. See, we concentrating on the money too much because we know what he is, and he should have been paid a certain way if he would have hit free agency healthy. But don't think about that. Think about the player. Think about that part. And I go back to as many as you can think of, whether it was a Brian Cox that played with me, whether it was a Corey Dillon, whether it was Randy Moss or Antonio Brown or Chad Ochocinco or Sanu or any of these guys that did not grow up Patriots that came to the team in the midst of their middle of their careers, they all come out opening day as the starters. You're signing guys like this to start, not to sit around.
Yeah, well, if he's healthy, this is going to be some great training camp competition to watch. And when I say it's competition, because I really think they're gonna let them ball out, and then we'll see. But if Cam is healthy, I have no doubt he'll start.
How much, if anything, do you put into what that Fox, that Boston radio host had to say in regards to, so that must have been a Freudian slip.
Freudian slip, right.
Or a purposeful slip disguised as a Freudian slip, you decide. The Boston radio host who suggested basically that the way that Cam celebrated victories and great plays won't be acceptable in New England. Do you buy that, or is he just playing radio?
I think he's playing radio. I think there's a fear of new for everybody in Boston. These people had no time to even mourn the loss of Tom Brady. Tom was quick to get back on the horse and leave and play for Tampa now. And I just think change for everyone is uncomfortable, even as a fan. There's this idea that as we were just talking about a few minutes ago, that when you go to New England, they strip you down. They make you hard. They work you to death. They take out your spirit. That is so not the reality. And even just from the media perspective, people have, one of the questions I get all the time is like, oh, what's your favorite locker room to cover? New England's one of my favorites. Not from a I'm going to get scooped standpoint, but from a so many great characters and great men are in that locker room. And there is a Patriot way. There certainly is. A Patriot way that was started back, by Willie McGinnis and Teddy Bruschi and Mike Vrabel. It's been the same since then, maybe even back when Parcells was there. But the idea that Boston won't allow Cam Newton to beat, I think Boston is going to love this guy. And so is Bill and the rest of the guys if he performs.
Diane Arcina joining us here on The Morning Show. Diane, I got about 30 seconds here. Why or why not will the NFL start on time?
The NFL will start on time because they are 100% determined to get to September, which is why all of this is so confusing. They don't want to take any risk before we get to September 10th. And from day one, when this started to become an actual issue, the pandemic, I never got a sense from the league office if they were going to make any adjustments. It was like, we are playing in September. And I believe them.
Diana Rossini, ESPN NFL Insider. Diana, good to have you on the show. Thanks a bunch.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
You got it. All right. So the Boston radio host that you mentioned, LZ, we're going to play that for you because if he's playing radio, that's a really bad character to get assigned to play. That's coming up next on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN.
Everybody.
Yeah. Yeah, they do come like on. This at the Red Sox games. That's for sure.
Join us, Key.
You know this one, Key?
That's that stuff they play in Boston.
It's here we go.
Caroline.
Ba-ba-ba-da. Yeah, you got to do the ba-ba-ba, Key.
Yeah, they play at the Red Sox games.
So good. So good.
They do. God, I mean, Boston is – Boston, man. I don't know how else to say it other than that. Cam is headed there, and I'm sure Cam knew this because Cam's a smart guy. But he hasn't even taken a snap, played a single game, and it's already starting. I want you guys to listen to this. This is from a radio station in Boston, a show, Felger and Maz, talking about Cam Newton's celebration and how he needs to be managed.
How about culture? Like, even something as simple and seemingly innocuous as the dapping, the Supermaning, all the celebrating and showboating on the field. They don't want you doing that here. So Cam Newton has celebrated more than any player in the league maybe over the last decade. Something as simple and innocuous as that. Think he'll be able to contain it?
I think Bill's going to give him a little latitude on that one. That's what I think.
I hope he doesn't. I like that about the Patriots. I like that. I like that they don't ride each other like ponies after games or after touchdowns or whatever. I like that they don't waste our time.
Yeah, I don't know. This guy's a different kind of cat, though.
No dice. No dice on the Superman.
I bet you they allow it, or I bet you. Put it this way.
That would piss me off.
I shouldn't say allow it because I'm not. I don't think Bill will, quote unquote, sign off on it.
So wait a minute.
He'll do it, though.
They won't let Dorsett ride Gronkowski like a pony. Rob Gronkowski. Hall of Famer, hugely important to multiple championships. He can't screw around, but Cam Newton can?
He's the quarterback.
Oh, feh.
He's the quarterback.
Ah, oh, please.
Gronk's a tight end.
Don't tell me that.
Shut up and block.
I don't want that.
Shut up and block.
Shut up and take the next snap.
This guy, you're going to see it. Do you think this guy can contain himself? Do you really think that?
I'd like to think so.
On the field, the like, just celebrating?
What the good for nothing hell?
This guy.
Are they trying to tell me that Rob Gronkowski was somehow reined in when he was a Patriot? Are they really trying to sell us on that?
No, but hold on, though, Travis. Really, I mean, hold on, hold on, man. So, Rob Gronkowski never celebrated. He never done anything. Tom Brady screaming at the top of his lungs, running off, pumping his fist. That is his celebration. That's his style. Talking smack and bobbing his head and, that's what he does. I mean, that slamming the ball, hard, spiking the ball hard, Julian Edelman, when he scores a touchdown, that's how he celebrates. Or Gronk spiking the ball hard, that's how he celebrates. Cam doing the Superman is problematic. You got to deal with this guy. You got to rein him in.
There you go. I mean, come on.
First of all, he ain't doing a Superman no more. That's like 3-some years ago. Anybody out there doing no damn Superman? What are you talking about?
And then he says, the culture. What you think Dabman was, man? That was the culture. What are you talking about? It's like, you probably got, I don't even know who the radio hosts are or what radio station it is.
Felger and Maz.
Okay, so they probably been on the air 50 years up there. They probably old and stale and just talking and running their mouth. And probably don't even go to games. They probably don't even attend the games. None of the games. They probably don't even go to the games.
Man, they had a serial killer on the squad, Travis. And they're obsessing over damn Cam Newton celebrating a touchdown. What?
Guys, I mean, especially in light of recent developments, I mean, you really can't expect to use language like that, very, very thinly coded language like that, and have it not be a big deal. I mean, the idea of,
as opposed to thick coded.
Well, just look, the idea of the phrase at the very end there, and we played about a minute, and I took six different notes of like, well, that's not okay, that's not okay. But the one at the very end, do you think he'll be able to contain himself? I mean, he's some sort of wild, crazy person who can't control his own emotions, who needs to be managed and contained and controlled, or else his wildness will spread throughout the entire team and create chaos, and the team will break down because Cam Newton decides to dab after a touchdown pass. Can he contain himself?
Do you think this guy can contain himself?
Come on, man. I mean, that's just crazy. And the idea of playing a character, like, are you playing radio? There's playing radio. We all know what that means. We all know that sometimes
they're not playing radio right there. That's
sure
how
didn't
he
feel
really
like
feels.
It to me. Sure no, didn't feel like it to me. No, and that's what Cam's
really
stepping into.
He feels that way. He really feels like Cam needs to be reined in. Like he's really a wild animal. That's
contained,
what he really feels. Else he wouldn't say.
Remember the woman who wrote in when Cam was in Carolina, saying the dancing was an affront and she had brought her daughter to the game, and now she has to explain to her daughter why the football player is dancing in the end zone or something like that. And she actually wrote a letter to the newspaper, yes. And the newspaper actually printed the letter. And I'm sitting here, and I'm like going, what is wrong with people? But then again, when you see videos of people getting mad if you build a patio in your backyard, I guess I got to understand where this is all coming from.
See, you just said what I always say, what is wrong with people? You say, it's not new. I'm going to do you now. It's not new, LZ. This has been going on for such a long time now. I mean, it's
why did your voice change?
Because every time I say I can't believe something, this is ridiculous. LZ has to educate me to get me to realize this has been going on for so long. Writing a letter is just something new now.
I mean, there were several other things in that minute or so that we played other than just contain yourself. There was the shut up and take the next snap. And then there's this one, the one about the dabbing and the Superman, all that, quote unquote, waste of time. Why is it a waste of time? If after I throw a touchdown pass and my team scores and I want to Superman or dab or raise my hands in the air or Gronk spike it or whatever my chosen expression is in that moment, why are cams, quote unquote, a waste of time?
Well, because you're not doing it the way I want you to do it, and you're not doing it the way that we think the traditional quarterback position should be played. We are used to watching a statue for the past 20 years win championships. So when he screams and hollers and bobs his heads and pumps his fist, that's not celebrating. That is how you're supposed to play the position. But when you Superman or you rock yourself shoulder to shoulder, side to side, and you with your fist balled up and you slam down, that's showboating. But when Gronk does the robot mechanical thingy, what's the thing in London they call the remember you did the London, oh God, what's the dudes that stand out in front of
the soldiers.
The London soldier deal, when he was doing that when they played in London, that was okay, that was fine, we enjoyed that, that was beautiful. It, you know what you're dealing with, man. You know what you're dealing with. You're dealing with Boston. You're dealing with old sports talk radio host dudes that is probably don't go anywhere, you know, just probably stay at home with a bunch of just, you know, I'm going to say something that's going to get me in trouble.
Man, all you have to do is Google Gronkowski celebration dance, and there are mixtapes of him on the field having a great time. Complete mixtapes, not one footage, different footages, different locations, different uniforms. He's having a good old time.
But we know this though, LZ. He ain't. They trying to dupe you to make you believe it's something else when we already know what they're doing. We've seen them celebrating.
I need to know why celebrating a touchdown is a bad deal. In any, however you want to celebrate a touchdown, how is one better than another? And why does one guy need to contain himself and another guy has to be ridden like a pony? It is exactly what it is. There's no subtext to this. It is blatant and it is obvious and it is, we don't like Cam, and it's just, I don't like the way that he looks and I don't like the way that he goes.
Well, he's going to wear a scarf and Bill Belichick going to wear one too. Now what?
I like it. All right, Giannis says that there's going to be an asterisk on this upcoming season. Is he right? That's next on the morning show on 710 ESPN. Key, you got to wonder if Cam Newton, at least if the thought of going to Boston specifically and what that entails crosses his mind. Because let's finish this thought. Those guys are doing a radio show in a city, and they've been on the air for a while, and they're giving their audience presumably what they want. And so if that's the sort of stuff, can he be contained? Will he celebrate as much? A waste of time? And all of those things that we're hearing. Obviously, that's stuff that is going to be, you know, heads nodding up and down like, yep, that's right. We don't need that here. When you make a decision to go play in a market like that, knowing that the market feels like that, that's got to be a part of the calculus, right?
It is to a degree, but until you experience it firsthand, you kind of don't really understand the culture of that particular region or area, no matter how many times people have told you, because there's been a number of black players that have played in those areas that have had success, and he's only there to play football. He ain't there to get on their radio show and indulge in their stupidity in their conversations, in their underlying –
No, but they're a reflection of the area, Key. They're not the only two guys. They're not the guys that are there, and you can just easily dismiss it. If that's the if the audience exists for that, that means.
But I'm
there
to play. But I'm there to play football. I'm not there to worry about you talking negative about me and me paying attention to it on a daily basis. I'm there in the building with Mr. Kraft and Mr. Belichick and the offense and the defense and my teammates. When I leave there, I go home. When I come back, I go to work. When I leave there, I go home. I go to a restaurant here or there. But I'm not there to, you know, put my roots there and deal with it. I don't have to deal with that. I'm there to do one thing, to win football games and get my paycheck, and that's it. That's what I'm there for.
I mean, yeah, but yeah, you're still living there, Keith. And even when you said go to restaurants, you're still living there. You still have to deal with the environment. I'm sure Bill Russell, you know, just wanted to get a check too.
No, you do have to deal with the environment, but
he had to deal with the environment as well. And
but as long as that environment isn't as nasty to my face, then I ain't got nothing to worry about. You could talk all day long on your radio show the way you feel about me. You could expose yourself to the world if that's what you choose to do. As long as you don't touch me or say nothing to me in my face, we ain't got no problems. You can. Your people gonna always say something. We have these conversations all the time. You're never going to please everybody. We know who you are. We get it. We're all in with who you are, and all I'm here to do is play football, get my check, and win games. I'm not here to appease you and mess around with you and worry about that you're mad at me because I won't come on your show. I'm not worried about that.
Key, you completely reject the idea of him having to go in there and win that job, right? That just seems crazy. You're not bringing a Cam Newton with Jared Stidham. That's nuts.
As Diana said on our show a minute ago, she heard from a defensive coordinator in the division. The defensive coordinator is not in Foxborough. You don't bring in Cam Newton on a team with Jared Stidham and Brian Hoyer to make him your third quarterback or your second. That's not what that is. Yes, you gave him a minimum, and he's getting $550,000 of guaranteed money on the deal because it's a prove-it cap-friendly deal. He is healthy, else he wouldn't say he's healthy. He wouldn't be running around. They're taking the risk of holding up a roster spot. He's taking a risk of low money to prove himself. We all know that he's going. It's his job. If you look at the history of the New England Patriots, just this organization, since we're talking about them, think about the players that they've always brought in that was at other stops before. They've always started and been a key component. Hell, Junior Seau started, and Junior Seau was in his 19th year. So I'm just saying they don't.
Well, and you have to imagine too. Cam's not going to go there to back up, right? The Cam, whether it was explicit or implied, he's the starter. He knows he's the starter. Bill Belichick knows he's the starter. Josh McDaniels knows he's the starter. Stidham and Hoyer, whoever else they might have on that roster, they all know that it's Cam's job, right? No, there's not one person that's walking in there under the assumption that this is an open competition.
No, there's not one person. There's not one person. It's funny how they crafted things when it comes to Cam Newton or certain players, right? It's just how the media starts to circle around and starts to create this narrative as if he has to compete for a starting job. We're not talking about Jameis. If Jameis Winston went to New England, then I would say, yeah, Jameis going to have to – he's going to probably have to fight. He's going to probably have to win.
Wait, well, because Jameis isn't a former MVP.
But that's my whole point. And Jameis ain't – he's not Cam Newton.
Right.
MVP or not, he ain't Cam Newton. If Cam Newton is healthy, it's ridiculous. And I know a lot of people say, well, how come the Redskins – how come Washington didn't sign him? Washington didn't sign him because they're not in a position where they need a Cam Newton, okay? It doesn't – they rather go young because it makes sense to build your team – with a young quarterback because you're not going to win anything. Only thing he could do, only thing he could do is be a progress stopper for the young quarterback in Washington. That's all he could be. Get in the way.
All right, the Lakers are going to keep Dwight's roster spot open heading into the bubble in Orlando. What does that mean? Is he coming? Is he going? And what does it do for the Lakers' chances? That's coming up next on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN.